Hello.
Okay. I'm gonna put you.
We're pushing the wind today.
Hi, ESP the Savic. I'm a member of the Mix, and we are listening to Comic Pop Library.
I used to daydream about being old enough to go on dates. I had this image of myself holding hands with a really cute guy, driving along some pretty road. It's never about going anywhere, really. It's having some sort of freedom, I guess.
Jay, are you awake?
What are you doing?
You're not gonna believe me, and I need you to remember what I'm saying.
This thing, it's gonna follow you. Somebody gave it to me, and I passed it to you.
Wherever you are, it's somewhere walking straight for you. All you can do is pass it along to someone else.
I need to find him.
What did he really do to you?
Apparently he used a fake name to rent a house in the city.
This isn't real, I swear to you. This is just some game.
If it kills her, it gets me. And goes straight down the line whoever started it.
What exactly is supposed to be following you?
I don't know.
Something happened. That's not what she thinks, okay?
You don't believe me. No, it's me. Everything's okay.
It could look like someone you know, or it could be a stranger in a crowd. Whatever helps it get close to you.
To another episode of Comic Popcorn Movies, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Lenny
and Logan.
And in today's episode, we are going to be looking at the feature film entitled It Follows. And It Follows came out in 2015. The synopsis of the story is, for 19-year-old Jay, fall should be about school, boys and weekends out at the lake. But after a seemingly innocent sexual encounter, she finds herself plagued by strange visions and the inescapable sense that someone or something is following her. Jay and her teenage friends must now find a way to escape the horrors that seem to be only a few steps behind in this critically acclaimed chiller.
I have a question.
Jump right in, Lenny.
To exactly what moral value set would that sex scene be innocent? It's even seemingly
true.
I mean, the dude used chloroform. That's not very
that
innocent.
Was that was after the sex scene.
That was after.
That's the weirdest part about it. Normally, you chloroform. Never mind.
He didn't have to drug her to do it, so he didn't.
True. This movie is one that came out.
But he went ahead and drugged her later anyway. Yeah. So. Yeah.
I have no clue why he couldn't have just told her about it, waited in the car for a bit, and left her at her house.
Okay, yeah, here's my thing. Like, she would have seen it because it was going to slowly follow her. And I'm going to emphasize slowly.
Yeah.
Well, the whole concept, the very beginning of the film wasn't too bad.
No.
At first, I thought this one guy was it, but he was walking too fast. So I was like, oh, you're fine.
The very first scene is with the young teenage girl, looks like, again, 19, 20-ish.
But not Jay.
We'll no, not
point
Jay.
That out.
Comes out of a house, runs in a circle, runs out to the middle of the street, stands there for a while, runs kind of in a loop. Back into the house, then comes out, gets in the car, and goes to the lake. And then,
we assume it's Lake Michigan, one of the Great Lakes in the United States.
It's in the Detroit
area. Ohio, Michigan, it's one of those.
It
is in Detroit, so it is Lake
Michigan. They did mention it, because you hit it right on, and then later in the movie they did say
later
Detroit.
They finally said, she says something about 8 Mile Road.
Yeah.
Which there's an 8 Mile Road in Pensacola, too, so it could have been Pensacola, but it didn't look like Pensacola.
But one of the things is, this entity is following her, and she's just sitting there and not moving, and it cuts, and it comes to the next scene, and she's been brutally murdered. So I'm like, okay, this might be a fairly interesting movie.
No, I mean, brutally in a sense that, like, horrifically, terribly, like, mutilated, like, her body is destroyed.
Most of her body wasn't really that destroyed. It's just one of her legs.
Yeah, but when your legs turned backwards to kick you in the face. Gone. Yeah, and the other one's gone.
Other than that, she looked fairly...
He was a leg, he was a leg man.
Yeah.
That one was a leg guy. And the... Yeah, it bothered me a little bit, though, that none of the other murders, which there weren't that many,
well, we know were there was anything at least like that. One that we didn't see.
There's at least one we didn't see.
Probably at least two.
And then there was the one we did see, which was a little Oedipus Rex, a little creepy, just like, I'm not sure what was going on there. And
we kind of mentioned the first of this, where the sex scene that's mentioned in the blurb on the back of the cover.
The seemingly innocent one. Yeah. Not innocent in my book, it's, but maybe I've got too innocent, high of a moral.
Then he drugs her.
And we kind of commented that it was kind of weird anyway, because they go to the lake. They're kind of getting hot and heavy at the lake shore. And then they get in the car, and they're like at the back of the projects, and they're making out in the back of the car.
No, they're doing it in the back of the car.
Well, doing it, I'm sorry.
They didn't want to do it at the lake, because that would be, like, you know, that would be...
too gritty.
Too romantic.
Yeah.
I think too gritty, maybe.
Yeah.
So
if they're going to do it in the car anyways, they don't have to worry about it.
The thing is, I can understand why he took her to the back of the projects, because of the whole chloroform bit he was going to do.
Right.
But, like, how do you sell that to the girl? Like, well, we can't do it out here by the lake, because somebody might see us nude by the lake. They could mistake us for being wearing, you know, if they're not that close, wearing bikinis or whatever. But no, we're going to go to the projects where it's safe. And I'd like to see the girl that's like, okay. And we'll get in the back of the car at the projects, and that's where we're going to consummate this thing.
It was definitely an interesting opening. Well, that was a little bit past the opening, but yeah. But then we find out that it...
I'm not saying they were projects, but they were like, they could have just been like a hotel that had no curb appeal at all. Like, I don't
know. Yeah.
Well, I think the building behind them was empty and shattered windows.
Yeah.
Then he took her under an overpass, in a really seedy part. They were like, he had to move the junky needles out of the way to...
tied her to a wheelchair so she could see it before he took her home and dumped her on the... middle of the street and took off. Yeah. It's like, wow, this is a great first date. And
go out with him again. You got yourself a winner there. Yeah, and then...
And then it progresses from there.
Not really. I mean...
at a very slow pace.
My wife asked me, so what does it do when it gets to them? And I'm like, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know.
It had sex with one of them.
Not really, because her underwear was still on. Yeah, but it made the motion
actually
as the mom of that person, by the way.
Yeah.
Very Oedipus. And then, his like life force was sucked out, which is okay, that's fine. But if it does it that way, why did it have to freakishly break off the girl's legs in the beginning? Like, that's what I don't understand. Like, I understand, like, it was a well done as far as, like, camera work. We've all agreed on that. And so they knew, like, they're obviously professional filmmakers. They put it in theaters. I mean, it went to Cannes, for God's sakes. But they didn't get together, like, you know, let's have this villain do one thing. Like, there is never a signature, like, this was definitely the work of it. Because it was literally an old man, a young kid, a naked lady walking down the street. I mean, no one can see them, so why they were sometimes wearing clothes? Because the actor didn't get paid enough, and they were like, no, I'm not getting naked. That's stupid.
There was also a non-existent girl in a yellow dress.
Yeah, they did do that in the theater. They never showed us her.
Yeah.
They just said, oh, you don't see her? No, neither do we. You're a loon, okay?
Yeah, didn't see her either.
And one of the other... And after doing this a little, or not doing this a little, God, after talking about this a little bit, I think Lenny was right when we were watching this. It's an artistic type film, because there is not very many, to me, you know, X-Files and some of the other great horror films. Some of the stuff that's left to your imagination is what creeps you out. And people, when I first heard about this movie, were saying, well, that's kind of what this is. It's unique. It's kind of creepy and stuff. No.
It's not.
I mean, one of the scarier parts was when they were in an old abandoned house and this wall, part of a wall falls through.
And I think that just happened.
And it's like,
yeah, I think that just happened. Like, it wasn't part of the film. That just, like, they were in an actual crappy house and it fell apart. They're just like, keep it.
And that was the two girls on either side, not it. Yeah. So.
No, it wasn't it. It was just two girls in the house. It was just like, wow. But the going back to the art film, you talked about how the cinematography was great, the lighting, using the natural lighting and making shadows. And
yeah, there's this one scene where Jay, the main character, very pretty girl, decent with her lines. I don't think they really gave them lines. It doesn't seem like they like directed them or something. The actors were all stoned. I'm not sure, but there's something like they were not, you know, their lines were delivered very shallowly, I guess is the only way I can say it. Like, they just didn't, it didn't feel like they could have said that or they could have said something else. It didn't really matter. And they just moved on.
There were at least some, if they didn't have scripts, they at least had backgrounds.
Yeah, no, they definitely had, each character had their own thing. But okay, so there's this one image of Jay, the main female lead, where it shows her and then the sunlight changes and it kind of time lapses a little bit. And then it shows her gold, like, or it looks gold across her face. It's really amazing. And that was the point, I think, where I was like, while we were watching the movie, I was like, you know, the cinematography is great. And then there were other parts I saw too, where it was like, you could tell somebody who had a very artistic eye filmed this movie, and whether it was the director or the cameraman or, you know, so that part, it's very easy. Like I say, it's very easy to watch in the sense that it isn't just, you know, choppy and like, you know, really dumb looking. Like I say, you watch it on silent, you could just make it like a background for your wall, you know, and like,
true.
But I was really disappointed in the story. And the thing is, I don't like art movies. I don't. I never have. I've seen them before. I know that they are trying to do something with a film that is not what I'm after. And so for me, you know, my thing is, I'm not going to say that this is not a good movie, but if you're not into literally, if you haven't seen before or you're not into art movies, don't expect to understand this movie and don't expect to like it very much, because it's not, I think they're going after a certain kind of obscure, and like I say, I think the whole thing's a metaphor for STDs, and it's just kind of like an artistic way of saying that, because they don't want to give
sex, kids.
It's sexually related.
Once you have STDs, have sex with every hooker you can, because that's one more person it has to kill before it gets to you.
It's a horrible message for actual STDs, by the way. Yeah, I think Logan just pointed that out very clearly.
No, that's actually from the movie, too.
No, it's from the... what I'm saying. If this is a metaphor for STDs, like, you can't take it literally, because then it's like the opposite thing that you should do.
Go have sex with everybody and just let it continue on.
Yeah, and like that... that's not the message we're trying to send here. I'm saying that, like, if you forget about like the literal way that the stupid monster is supposed to work, and just, and it, you know, like, forget
he says it's not stupid, though.
It is stupid.
Why was it on the roof?
Yeah, exactly. It could have maybe caught them had it not been on the damn roof. And, you know, it's like, oh, I could get them, but I'm just half a mile behind. Well, I'm going to take another step now.
True.
You know, and I mean, it's like, it wants to intimidate you. It doesn't want to scare you. It certainly doesn't want to catch you if you're moving over 3 miles an hour, but it does want to intimidate you, so it will slowly stalk you all over the place, and if you nap for too long, it will get in your bedroom and kill you.
No, it actually waited outside the door for that, and it had to break in to get into there. And that was the only time it really showed much smarts. It actually knocked at the door.
yeah
at it that did. One point it did.
Oh, and the thing is like, I think that
then he didn't listen.
I think that if you kind of ignore like what's going on there, you can kind of see that, you know, like, as these people are having sex and consummating and whatever, and then like going on to other partners young and like wildly, like they're spreading like a problem.
And their legs.
Yeah. So in that way, but no, actually, if you follow these rules on STDs, you'll definitely get one and probably spread them, and then you're a bad person. So do not actually, but in an artistic sense, I can feel what they're trying to say.
Yeah. And one of the other artistic things that you could say is about this, because we debated this for probably a good third of the movie, is the time frame of what this movie was in, because you had 70s yeah. vehicles, 70s style clothes. Then you had the 90s type, 80s type.
They're artsy people, remember. So the clothing has to be ignored. Because have you ever seen what artists wear? And there's a 2015 F-150. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, it's this year's model. So it came out last year while they were filming. And they're like, let's get a brand new truck.
I still haven't seen this compact clamshell e-reader that
I thought it was
who
a cell phone.
Valerie was
it? Yeah, Velma. No, Velma. Yeah,
that's what we said. Yeah,
she's just kind of she's a side character, and she's not extremely attractive, and she's just always kind of being gross and just like on the side, like being kind of like, "What's going on, guys?" But she's always there, kind of tagging along. It is very much like a Scooby-Doo gang, isn't it? They're very dysfunctional,
kind of.
If they had a Scooby, then they would have been good. They needed that was a big talking that dog. Was it.
Big dogging dog, by golly.
If it had been Scooby-Doo, it would have been funner for me. If like, at the end, Scooby-Doo jumped out and said, well, I'm just kidding. You know, that would have been the best.
Well, of course, we've been talking about this having nudity and some violence in it. It is rated R. That's because it's disturbing, violent, and sexual content, including graphic nudity and language. And then some of the amazing things.
Yeah, graphic out of focus nudity. Don't get too excited, guys. Graphic nudity from 30 yards off.
What was it we said?
Because remember, it is in a straight line coming for you very slowly.
This is what's going to blow your guys' mind.
What?
This movie, to me, is an independent film. It doesn't have a big budget, but it has a decent budget. This thing had a $2 million estimated budget.
What?
And the opening weekend of March 2015, it brought in $160,089. But by June of 15, in just U.S. market, it brought in $14,673,301.
So someone got rich off of this.
Yeah.
That is just...
Then why not?
Oh, my God.
So they spent $2 million and they reaped $12 million in profits because they did not advertise this that much.
Super assholes. So, and it's not independent. It's Anchor Bay.
Yeah, it's a
this is
well-known
this was a
company.
Studio. Yeah, this is a but studio
it,
film.
But it feels like an independent almost.
I think it's like one of the studio execs' kid was like, "Hey, Dad, can I make a movie?" And he was tired of it, and he's just like, "Fine, whatever." And he's like, "Okay, it's gonna have $2 million budget." Okay, he's like, "Whatever, we're Anchor Bay, we're rich, it doesn't matter."
So it was. The director was
dead. What did they spend $2
million on? You could see that as a school project. You could see that as a school project.
Like, they could have probably bought that town in Michigan for $2 million.
Maybe that's what they did.
Maybe that's what they spent. They're like, we had to buy this entire town because they were like, this is the dumbest script ever. There's no way we're letting you make this movie here.
And then they paid the actors on whatever was left.
I feel like, okay, who were the actors? No names? No names?
Annie was Bailey Spry. Annie must have been at the very beginning.
Hey, who the hell is Annie?
That was the girl at the very beginning, I think. Yeah. Jay,
she had a name?
Yeah. Jay was Micah Monroe.
She's kind of hot.
The girl that played Kelly was Lily Sippy.
Is Kelly her sister?
Uh-huh.
She's super hot. And it's funny because they talk about how hot the blonde is, and I'm like, whoa, you people are dumb. You picked the wrong actress for the lead. And then in those socks when they're at the beach by the lake.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, those socks. I hope my wife never listens to this one.
But this is... I'm sorry, David. I think David Robert Mitchell, who actually was the director and the writer.
Yeah. Good for you, man. Glad you made some money.
Yeah. He made a killing off this. Studio made a killing off this. So, kudos. This is one, like we've been saying, I think you're going to have to enjoy art films to really dig this a lot more than normal horror, especially if you're into slashers, this was not going to be up your alley. If you're into a little bit of a traditional horror, maybe a twinge, but this, like we've been talking, is more of an art film.
It's got a
dark art film.
Dark art. I don't think that I would put this in the horror category. I'm sorry. It's not. It's only a horror movie because they told us in the very beginning, you're going to be, it's a horror movie. I mean, the character literally said, this thing's coming for you and it's going to be scary. And if he hadn't have said it, you're right. She'd have probably missed it. Like, what?
Actually, that might be one of its things, because there is no way some of those actions would make any sense if it did not automatically, and that's without being scary itself, just automatically induce fear.
Yeah.
True. I guess that could be a part of its so-called air quotes powers.
Yeah. It sometimes teleports with no rhyme or reason to what it is.
This is one, if a library wants to pick it up, I'm sure people will be interested in it, because it did get a little bit of notoriety. So people, just because of that, will probably be interested in
it. Yeah, people are going to watch it. They're,
but this is one, if, like it. Once it's run its course and it needs to be replaced, this is one you can easily do without, unless you just have a community that's into the art films, I think. Smaller libraries could probably skip this one if they wanted to, and just interlibrary loan it. Medium to large, I can see larger ones definitely getting it. Mediums, it'd be up to the purchasing agent if they want to pick it up. We watched it.
I want to say this one thing before we sign off here.
It caught me.
Yeah, I mean,
by the ads.
I want to say this one thing. I do not hate this movie. I think that I'm glad that I've seen it. And I think that if someone just, were to be like, oh, what did you think of that movie? I'd be like, well, do you like to stand in a cold kind of clean place and look at a large, confusing picture for half an hour at a time before you move on to the next one? Because if you do like to do that,
it's your show.
And anyone else that's looking for anything else in a movie, I don't think that this is going to be the one for you.
Well, I think... Yeah. And you guys can disagree with me or make comments as well. But to me, I think I would have enjoyed it more if I knew what I was going to be getting. What they advertised it as a horror film, I was expecting, okay, this is going to be, a chiller or a spooky horror film.
Well, it calls it a chiller. And the thing about horror is it says that it doesn't have the jump.
Jump scares.
The jump scares. But it also doesn't have the reveal, it doesn't have the kill, it doesn't have the resurrection, and it doesn't have the re-kill. And these are four classic elements in horror movies. And I mean, you reveal who the actual monster is, especially in the older, more traditional ones where it's like a person or it's a shadowy, narrated monster and you never actually see them.
And
then, STD, that's what it is.
And then the second thing is, it doesn't have the reveal. It doesn't have, you can't kill it without the reveal. So they never kill it. It basically continues to follow. In case you're wondering how this ends, they're still being followed by whatever. Well,
maybe that might have just been a random person.
Which means, if you don't... Yeah, it's like there's this one guy, I thought he was it, and then I was like, no, he's just a guy. And then... you can't like have them kind of creepily set up or grab the ankle or hand or whatever. The classic cliche crap. Now, maybe the director was like, I don't want to do any of that stuff. Is there a cat in here?
Yes.
We're about to get her out of here.
It's followed us in here. We're going to have to take care of this. All right. Well, everybody that likes this film, enjoy.
And I had never heard the phrase art film before today.
They chalk you up. You learn something new today.
Yeah.
As I say, you're never living unless you learn something new.
The thing is, I've seen probably two art films.
Seen a few. Pink Floyd the Wall could be considered an art film.
Three. March of the Penguins could be considered an art film. I'm saying I've never seen what would you call this? Like a modern art film? this is okay. If this was art, this would be it wouldn't be like Picasso. It would be but kind of like him, newer kind of that style, but not so traditional, less traditional, newer, even more obscure.
And it's not an out there type of an art film. it's more like a realistic art film to a degree, because Pink Floyd is kind of out there. The Wall. Pink Floyd, The Wall is kind of out there.
Not kind of out there. Brazil
is another art film I've seen. It's out there, too. This one's more grounded in reality, but because of the way it's done, it feels like an art film, too, though. Just a different style.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I don't think that they even wanted it to be called an art film. They're probably going to, if they ever listen to our review, of course, they've got $14 million. They don't have to.
They don't care.
But they can, if they ever listen to our review, they might be like, you know, like, I don't think it's an art film. I thought it was, like, supposed to be scary. You know, I'm sorry, man. If that's what you were going for, you failed.
You literally had the first.
Like, when I want to make an omelet, if I burn the eggs, I failed. When you want to make a film and you need to put some dialogue that makes sense, and you need to come to some kind of a conclusion, a climax. They call that the climax, by the way.
We're back to the sex talk.
I didn't actually see that much prowess out of this guy in the beginning either. I don't know if she climaxed. He definitely did. And I didn't. So that's the film.
Yes. What, Logan?
Nothing.
Okay. I think we're going to leave it at that. If you're into art films, you might want to check it out. Just see if you might enjoy it or not. Check it out at your library.
I'm sorry, David Robert Mitchell.
We've been having fun here. Hope you've been having fun listening to us out there. We will see you the next go around. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.